The scripture this morning is John 12, verses 20 through 26. There were some Greeks in town who had come to worship at the feast. They approached Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee. "Sir, we want to see Jesus. Can you help us?" Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip together told Jesus. Jesus answered, "Time's up. The time has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Listen carefully. Unless a grain of wheat is buried in the ground, dead to the world, it is never any more than a grain of wheat. But if it is buried, it sprouts and reproduces itself many times over. In the same way, anyone who holds on to life, just as it destroys that life. But if you let it go, reckless in your love, you'll have it forever, real and eternal. If any of you wants to serve me, then follow me. Then you'll be where I am, ready to serve at a moment's notice. The Father will honor and reward anyone who serves me." May God add a blessing and reading to these words.
Hi, baby Jackson.
Good morning. Today, as we have said, we are continuing our sermon series on being reshaped. And considering what it means to embrace change in our lives with a little or a lot of help from God. Over these last few weeks, we have been using our Play-Doh to shape and mold and to make representations of these things in our lives. Some of our creations have been abstract. Some of them have had very significant meaning. I've enjoyed hearing about them from people who have shared the stories of what they have created. Some of them have been very delicate and intricate. And some of us have simply put the Play-Doh back into the canister, waiting to remold it again next week. And some of us refuse to open it because they don't like the smell. So, I invite you, if you want to, get out your Play-Doh and begin to mold it in your hand. And today, during our sermon time and during worship, I invite you to use that Play-Doh to create a representation of seeds in your life that are waiting to be planted or something new that might be going on. And even if you have no idea what that is, what it new is being waited to be sprouted in your life, simply allow the shaping of that clay to be your prayer of willingness to let go, to embrace the possibilities. As we continue our journey, will you pray with me? Dear God, thank you for helping us let go of the things that need to change. We know you are always with us, helping us each and every day. As we take this time of worship to be with you, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all our hearts, and the shaping and molding by our hands be acceptable in your sight, because you are our constant and our foundation. Amen. A few months ago, Pastor Susan and I had the opportunity to see Pastor Olivia's daughter, Anna Jane, in Frozen Junior, where she played young Elsa at the Milford Children's Theater. And it was a delight to see this production, and it was just one small way that it reminded me that the movie Frozen has made its way into our culture. The movie Frozen debuted in November of 2013 and was a huge and somewhat surprise hit. It was the highest grossing film in 2013, had several spin-off specials, a sequel, a Broadway play, many awards, and now they're making a third one, as after doing a Google search on Frozen, my phone is reminding me of all the time right now. So, even years later, I know parents of our preschoolers in Discover Zone, and many of you might have memories of parents or grandparents, of hearing Frozen on repeat constantly for days at a time at your house. Now, there are some people who haven't seen this, and that includes my husband, who refuses to. But let me do a little, he's very proud of that fact that he's never seen this movie. So let me do a little recap. The movie Frozen takes place in this country of Arendelle, where we meet these sisters, Anna and Elsa. Now, Elsa is the firstborn, and she has magical powers of snow and ice. But after accidentally hurting her younger sister, she begins to hide them, fearing that she would not be accepted. And then, in a moment of care and concern for Anna, this causes Elsa to reveal her powers publicly. And as you might expect, there's a lot of fear and confusion from others. So Elsa runs away, and then she breaks into her famous ballad, Let It Go, a song that has become part of our culture, where in this song, she decides to let go of those expectations of others and embrace the change, that she is created differently and has different gifts to give to the world. Now, I will admit, and there are probably some here too, I have put this song on in my car and sung it really loud on some days, right? If you need to be reminded of the power sometimes of being who you have been created to be. And I think this is one part of Elsa's story that we can all relate to. She is hiding her true self because of other people's expectations, even well-meaning ones like her parents, until she just can't do that anymore. She lets go of her fear and anxiety about not meeting all of these external expectations and leans into who she is created to be. And that is a feeling that I imagine all of us want, that freedom to let go of those expectations. Because pretending who we are not, or trying to keep up experiences, or simply resisting the changes of life because we think it's safer, that takes so much energy. And that energy could be used for something else, like planting seeds in our life and seeing what God could do. In our scripture lesson today, Jesus reminds us of this power of planting seeds. Our story takes place in Jerusalem in the days preceding Jesus' death. He's had his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and he's challenging those religious leaders. He is becoming more and more well known, and he is causing confusion and anger and fear by being who God created him to be. And then in the Gospel of John, we have this curious little moment. We're told there were some Greeks in town. So basically, there are some travelers for the Passover festival who'd come from far away, and they wanted to see Jesus. Now, who were these Greeks exactly? Some scholars argue that they were Gentiles, which means non-Jewish people, and they represent Jesus' mission to the whole world. Others say they were Greek-speaking Jews who were just in town for the festival. Still others say they must have been Greeks who were proselytes of the Jewish faith, but not Jewish people. Regardless, the author is making a point of their presence. He is trying to say that there were people who were willing to step forward and embrace a change, and that Jesus' mission is going beyond just the people he was encountering in his everyday life, that Jesus is beginning to break other people's expectations. So these curious Greeks of the time follow the proper protocol on being introduced to each other, to someone they don't know. They go and find Philip, who has a Greek-sounding name. So perhaps they're more comfortable, maybe they knew him, or maybe they needed Philip to translate for them. And then Philip does this thing where he goes and gets Andrew, the other guy with a Greek-speaking name. He needed moral support. And they go to Jesus and say, hey, there's some people who are wanting to change their lives and are curious. And then Jesus does this odd thing. He talks to the disciples, but totally ignores the Greeks, and they just disappear from our story entirely. So who knows what happened to them? But this is what Jesus says. He says, time's up. The time has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. And then he offers this like mini agricultural parable that says, unless a grain of wheat is buried in the ground, dead to the world, it will never anymore be any more than a grain of wheat. But if it is buried, it sprouts and reproduces itself many times over. In the same way, anyone who holds on to life just as it is destroys that life. But if you let it go, reckless in your love, you'll have it forever, real and eternal. In this statement, Jesus pulls on this image of a seed to remind us that change is a part of life. It's part of the cycle of life or the circle of life. And that growth can only happen when we let go. When we let go of expectations and embrace that change, being willing for new life to sprout and grow and blossom. And we have to be willing to bury the seed to allow it to become its potential, what it was made to be. In this phrase, Jesus asks us to let go of life as it is in order to create and multiply the love of God, which is forever. And this is hard because it feels like chaos and recklessness. But when we do this, we allow the breaking open of possibility and the sprouting of new light. And this is what it means to follow Jesus. Yet that process of letting go is not easy for us, just as it is not easy for that seed. To sprout, a seed has to be buried in the soil. It has to be at the right temperature. It has to be nurtured and watered. It has to absorb oxygen. And then it germinates, and the seed coat or that shell begins to soften. It begins to change, and then it breaks open. And then a root grows in the soil, and it needs light and proper temperature and all these other things. And only then does it begin to sprout and grow. There has to be a lot of right conditions for that to happen. And in the same way, we move through this change cycle and we face the same thing those seeds do. We have to move through that whole process. We have to move, as we've been talking about, from the red zone to the yellow zone. We have to deal with feelings of loss and doubt. And then we have to embrace our discomfort as we recognize the change. And we have to be in that stage of discomfort because our brains need time to organize and categorize and put language to what's going on and to figure it out. But sitting in that discomfort takes time, and it's hard, and we don't like it. And it leads to feelings of anxiety and confusion, uncertainty and disappointment. And this is the danger point. This is when our brain screams, danger, Will Robinson, danger. It is the crucial place, as Reverend Lily Brock says, it's the make or break it decision point. Because if we don't move through this stage and take the time to sit in the discomfort and the change, the danger is we're going to go right back to the beginning, to that loss and fear and doubt, and we're going to get stuck in stages 1, 2, and 3. But if we sit in our discomfort and we take a few steps back and we let it go, it's then that we are more likely to have a breakthrough. And we can begin to move into stage 4, where we will discover new things, gain new perspective, and begin to sprout. We are just like that seed in the ground, which must allow the dark earth out of sight and be there undisturbed for a little while to hear the call of what it was created to do, to break open and grow towards the light. Now, for many of us, this doing nothing, this deep listening, is often the most difficult moment of change. As disciples of Jesus, We have to remember his promises, his last words, his promise that what might feel like death and destruction will not destroy us in the most important ways. It will lead us to life. After all, in the story of Frozen, Elsa had to let it go, and then she waited, and she had to listen and learn before she was fully able to integrate that change into her life. She had the opportunity to stay in her ice castle, to revert to being isolated from everybody. But instead, the love of her sister Anna called her forth into new life. And by doing so, she was able to use her gifts to save her people. So what do we do? How do we choose to sit and wait in these changes of life? We have one important spiritual practice, and that is the power of ritual. A ritual is a ceremonial way to mark that threshold moment, like a door going from one moment to another, that transition point. Ronald Grimes, who is one of the preeminent voices in the field of ritual studies, says it this way. The primary work of a rite of passage is to ensure that we attend to such events fully, which is to say spiritually, psychologically, and socially. Unattended passages become spiritual sinkholes around which hungry ghosts, those greedy personifications of unfinished business, hover. Or in other words, if we don't ritualize change, it will come back to bite us. Now, we have common rituals in our life, in our culture, weddings and funerals and graduations. In the Christian faith, there are rituals such as baptisms, ordinations, and child dedications. We have weekly rituals such as communion. And here at Florence Christian Church, we also have rituals that are called milestone moments, where we commemorate those moments that we want to bless in a special way. These can be small moments, such as getting a cell phone or a driver's license, to annual moments such as back to school time. One of the special moments in an adult's life is a time of transition to retirement, which is a transition for full-time work to perhaps a life filled with other focuses or many focuses. I won't say that life slows down, because many of you who've experienced that would tell me that is a giant lie, especially if Pastor Diane or Pastor Susan calls and says, hey, will you do this now that you have all that time, right? So today, we want to take a moment and recognize the retirement and give God thanks for the legacy of Reverend Randy Johnson. Randy is our area representative for the Christian Church Foundation. For those of you who might be newer to Florence Christian Church, you might not have had a moment to know Randy, but for over 20 years, Randy has been a partner of this congregation, helping us plant seeds to be able to create our Legacy Builders Permanent Fund and our Capital Permanent Fund. And at the end of the month, Randy is formally retiring. And today, we are taking a moment to express our gratitude to him for the seeds that he has helped us plant, which we know will continue to sprout and grow beyond every single one of our lifetimes. And so I'd like to invite Randy to come forward and share a few more words and plant a few more seeds for us.
I'm trying to embrace the difficulty of being the center of attention, because in my ministry, I have always tried to place attention elsewhere. But thank you for this. I mean, what a thoughtful thing to do. I have led seminars through the years where I ask people to name the three most important moments of their lives. And inevitably, those moments involve significant change in their lives. And yet we try to push back on change because we find it to be difficult. Florence Christian Church, I am amazed at the changes you have gone through these past 20 some years that I have had the privilege of working with you. One of the first challenges we faced when I was working with you was the thought of becoming a two-campus church on that property just outside of town. And the excitement in this church for doing that was just so amazing. And I know there must have been some serious disappointment when eventually you figured out that that wasn't working and you needed to change attention. Years later now, you came to the point where you knew that it was time to sell that property, and it was through selling that property that you were able to create this amazing permanent fund that is currently providing a stream of income to care for this building in the amount of in excess of $90,000 a year. Soon that stream of income will grow to over $100,000 a year. Change is difficult, but oftentimes when we look back, change results in amazing blessings for us. It has been my privilege also to work with you to create your Legacy Builder program. And on the tree that's on the wall outside of the sanctuary, you can see the names of those people who have promised an end-of-life gift to the church. The permanent fund, that permanent fund, is going to be an amazing blessing for this congregation to allow the church to do things in the future that you never even dreamt that you could do because of those people who have gone before us, who have left those gifts, those people now who have promised those end-of-life gifts, and those who will come after us who will continue that tradition. Change is difficult, but what amazing blessings it brings. So I'm humbled and honored that you would do this for me today, but I want to turn that around and honor you for the amazing work that you have done, the amazing work that you are doing, and all that is yet to come. I thank God for you.
Now we're going to bless Randy again. We did it the first service, so yeah, you guys get to deal with it too. But let me tell you a little bit about Randy. Randy joined the foundation in 2001 after serving congregations in Ohio and Indiana, and he has served as the vice president of the Southeast Zone, which includes Kentucky and Florida and Alabama. So both of us have had many years of experience with Randy outside of this congregation. So he's a chartered advisor in philanthropy and a certified fundraising executive. And Randy received his Master of Divinity degree from Bright Divinity School in Fort Worth.
Go Frogs!
He completed his undergraduate work at Grove City College. Randy and his wife Sandy are the parents of three adult children, including my friend Krista, adoring grandparents of five grandchildren, and they are ministry members of Tapestry Church, a Disciples of Christ congregation in Indianapolis, a congregation that Randy pastored prior to his ministry with the foundation. After his retirement, Randy will get to do the best of both worlds and do some consulting work for the foundation. He will also get to play golf, enjoy more time with his wife and traveling, children, getting to spend time with his children and grandchildren. And also, one of his plans is to go and serve a nonprofit in Indianapolis, which provides houses and homes, adult daycares for people with dementia. And he's going to use his gifts for planned giving to go help this small nonprofit grow that program and continue to spread those seeds. And if you talk to him about it, his face lights up with excitement about getting to share and continue his work this way. And so now we offer Randy this blessing.
So Randy has fulfilled God's calling on his life as an ordained minister serving congregations and the whole church in all that he has done. But his calling, as we have just heard, continues, and it's going to continue. There'll be other changes that will come along the way as well. Because every season of our lives is an opportunity to explore with God the ways in which God is calling us to live and serve God and others faithfully and wholeheartedly. And so, Randy, I ask you, do you continue in your covenant with God that God would made with you in baptism and your ordination to live among God's faithful people, to hear the word of God and share in the Lord's Supper, to proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed, to serve all people following the example of our Lord Jesus, and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth? If so, please respond by saying, I do, and I ask God to help and guide me.
I do, and I ask God to help and guide me.
And so as you enter into this new season of life, I call you to remember your baptism and ordinations as the congregation prays this prayer with you and for you. And as we do that, I want to anoint you in the name of Jesus the Christ, who gave his life for us so that we might know life and that we might continue into the fullness of the life he gives.
Will you all pray with me? Gracious God, you have been at work from the beginning, creating your world, and have given us the privilege of working with you in the creation of that world. We thank you for the contributions that Randy has made to hundreds of churches and families and lives through years of faithful service and fulfilling his calling as a minister. Now, as he continues in his journey with you, grant to this your servant a continuing source of satisfaction from his endeavors in the days ahead, as he seeks to do your will in all things and seeks to be faithful to your call to love you and to love our neighbors. Let him feel your presence in all that you do. Let him know your joy and your guidance in this new season of life. May your blessings be upon him and his family during this new season, and may the beautiful things grow and sprout and change. Amen.
Amen. And one final thing, we often give during milestone moments in our church's life, we give a milestone, and this milestone says retirement on it. And one of the things that we remember as we look at this stone is God's word is a light unto our path, wherever it takes us. And so as you retire, recognize the new path that God is leading you on with joy. Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.